Learning for a couple of weeks now what it means to be transformed from darkness to light. This is the third part of this particular section of verses that focus on this aspect of walking as Jesus walked. Here are several summary statements from the last two messages, just to give those of you maybe who were not here a little bit of context, and for those who were here, a few reminders. Previously, we read, you were darkness. It's not just that we live in a dark, sinful world. That's not it. It's not even that we used to stumble around aimlessly in darkness. This verse reminds us, we were darkness. Then the second important truth, but now you are light. You and I were previously darkness, but now, if you're in the Lord, you are light in the Lord. Christ changes our essence, our nature. He transforms us from being darkness to being light. Therefore, walk as children of light. Heavenly light produces earthly results. Walking in the light has behavioral consequences. Paul's command is for us to behave as who we are in Christ. Where spiritual light exists, so does visible fruit. We are to walk in the light, exposing the darkness. Believers are called by God to expose the fruitless works of darkness. We are to expose evil. The term expose means to debate, to refute, to convince by means of evidence. But the next part is very important. We are to speak the truth in love. Cannot omit the love part. Why? Because our ultimate goal is to win people, not arguments. Now let's continue with part three, transformed from darkness to light. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So what does this mean? I hope to tell you. Number one, do not speak of shameful acts. We need to expose the fruitless works of darkness because they're shameful. Sometimes they are too shameful to discuss. Some acts are so repulsive that, according to John MacArthur, they should be sealed off not only from contact, but even from conversation. It is not our job to give the disgusting details of the deeds of darkness. Some details should be buried in oblivion. If not, we may be guilty of enjoying sin vicariously from a distance, or of teaching others how to commit the sins that we're exposing. Too much exposure can make us too comfortable with sin that should make our skin crawl. This is why, as an example, this is why we must be very discerning about what we choose to watch as entertainment. The more we watch nastiness presented as normal, the more accepting we become of such sin. If you can't say to Jesus, "Oh, come on, Jesus, let's you and I go to this movie together," then perhaps you shouldn't be going to this movie either. You say, "Well, Pastor, won't be going to many movies then." Admittedly so. But isn't Jesus the standard? Not what the movie's rated, not what your friends are doing, including your church friends. Jesus and his word are the standard. Sin is shameful. It's our duty to call it out as shameful. Shame is a first step of repentance. But if everyone acts like shameful sin is just normal, then shame never comes. There's an old proverb that says, "Night has no shame." In other words, as long as sin stays hidden, nothing changes. So, let us expose the fruitless works of darkness. Speaking the truth in love, let us fill the night with our light, that those who are living in rebellion might be filled with a godly sense of shame. There's a second thing. Make the invisible visible. The fruitless works of darkness need to be unmasked. The term "anything" in this verse refers to the secret sins discussed in verse 12. When we expose the fruitless works of darkness, we unmask them, we expose their true colors, and we reveal them to be the grotesque, harmful creatures that they are. When we drag sin out of the dark, dingy corners where it lurks, and when we shine the light of truth on sin, then this sin is seen in all of its ugliness. Just a parenthesis here. Have you ever noticed that places where people do lots of bad stuff are often dark? You ever notice that? Bars are dark, dance clubs are dark, everything's dark. Why? It goes with the territory. The ancient Assyrians had a belief that if by chance a demon saw himself in a mirror, his own ugliness would frighten him and he would flee. In like manner, when we see the ugliness of our own sin in the mirror of God's word, it should frighten us. And it should cause us to want to run in a whole nother direction. Many people sense no need for repentance because their sins have not been unmasked. Their sins have not been exposed for what they really are. Often, no follower of Christ has loved them enough to be willing to take the risk to expose their sin. No one has loved them enough to try to redeem them from their sinful ways. Sinners cannot know the sinfulness of their sins unless they are exposed to the truth of Scripture. Many of these folks never step inside a church, which is why he has you all around them, at your workplace and with your extended family members and fellow T-ball parents, etc. Sinners cannot know the sinfulness of their sin unless they are told. So, will we love others enough to seek to redeem them by telling them the truth? Someone must speak the truth in love. Someone must counter Satan's propaganda. Why do we always assume that someone else needs to do this job? Once stripped bare and revealed for what it is, sin is repulsive. Now, followers of Christ are not held accountable for that which lost people do in secret. But we are held accountable for speaking light into their darkness. Whether they agree with us or not, they need to face the fact that their deeds, no matter how secret, cause dreadful consequences. If we simply ignore the known sins of those who are close to us, they will typically continue in their sins, and they will typically become increasingly bold, which means what? Which means they will experience even worse consequences and judgment. The more sin is committed, the more a person becomes comfortable in their sin, and the more addicted they become. Sins are only dealt with when they're exposed. So, if you want your friends and loved ones to get better, pray much. Really, really, really pray much. And speak the truth in love. Proverbs 28:13 says this, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Because of personal free will, loving confrontation does not guarantee life change in others. However, this much is clear. When sins are not exposed, they not only continue, they increase. Now you say to me, "Pastor, what you're asking us to do..." Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not asking you to do this. The Word of God is asking you to do this. I'm just the water boy. You say, "Pastor, what the Word of God is asking me to do, but you don't understand, it's hard." Of course I understand. I've had to deal with the same things that you've had. You say, "But Pastor, you don't understand. I'm talking here about my prodigal son. I'm talking about my wife. I'm talking about my parents. You have no idea." Oh, yes, I do. Because I've been there too. "But it's hard." It is hard. That's why you have to pray like their lives and souls depend on it. And then in love, prayed up with tears in your eyes, you sit down with them and you take their hand and you say, "I love you so much, I cannot be silent." That's the kind of person God will use in the life of one who needs to repent. So we need to shine. Whether or not this illumination leads to reformation, our responsibility is to expose sin by shining the light of God's word upon it. But once that's accomplished, the next step is up to the individual. A sinner whose deeds are exposed faces a moment of crisis. He or she is forced to come to the light or run deeper into the darkness to hide from the light. I've seen both responses. The rich young ruler came to Jesus thinking that all was well. But Jesus exposed the sin in his heart. This young man came face to face with a moment of crisis. He knew what Jesus said was true, but he loved his sin too much to leave it. Years ago, one Easter Sunday morning, I extended the invitation for people to become followers of Jesus. Immediately, a lady came forward and she took my hand and she said, "I'm in, Pastor, I'm in." So I scheduled a time to meet with her to explain what it means to be a follower of Jesus. When she arrived, to my surprise, her boyfriend with whom she was living came with her. I thought, this is great. I'm excited to share the gospel with both of them. But as we talked about repentance and surrender to Christ, I explained that they either needed to get married or they needed to stop living together. She expectantly looked to her boyfriend, but he was not happy. Their sins were illuminated, and they went away sad. They made the wrong choice. They ran from the light. Here we are, years later. To the best of my knowledge, nothing has changed. For this precious couple whom Jesus deeply loves, darkness still reigns. It breaks my heart. If by our lives and our lips we are not helping people in darkness consider Christ, consider coming to the light, then what are we doing? Why be called light if we refuse to shine? Simple illustration. So Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a candle or light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, what do? They take their light, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise you?" No. "That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." How clear is that? Remember what the goal is. Whenever we share the gospel, whenever we meet with people, whenever we expose the deeds of darkness in love, our goal is not just to expose sin. Our goal is to redeem. So as you speak the truth, boy, this is important, don't omit the love part. Speak the truth in love. By the life we live and by the words we speak, we need to give people a glimpse of something better than anything they have ever known. Jesus has a way of life that's so much better. That's what we want to hold out before people. There's a better way, because Jesus loves you and wants to be a part of your life. Number 3, wake up and experience the light. Whenever we expose a person's vices, we need to include a proclamation of the gospel. A loving call to salvation. Again, our ultimate goal is to win people, not arguments. Even as we expose sinful deeds, we must point out to those in rebellion that there is a way of escape. We must seek to convince those without Christ that they are asleep and they need to be awakened to the truth. A spiritually lost person is a sleeper. They are living in a dream world, in a fantasy land of make-believe, unconscious of the real world as defined by Scripture. Those who do not know Christ typically live only for today, for this life, and nothing more. But 1 John 2:17 reminds us, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Those without Christ are asleep. They live in false security. When we're sleeping, we are oblivious to the dangers around us. People can even walk in their sleep and be totally unaware of danger. I read a story about a man who was sleepwalking, who woke up in the kitchen eating canned cat food. I don't know if eating canned cat food is dangerous or not, but it's surely not normal. Nonetheless, unbelievers are spiritual sleepwalkers, able to move around and do things, but sensing no danger. Believing that all is well, they sleep away, ignoring the fact that they are offending a holy God as they live in rebellion. It's like believing that you're on the road to paradise only to wake up and discover you're in hell. Whether one believes in the things of God or not has no bearing on their actual existence. If everyone quit believing that the sun would rise tomorrow, the sun would still rise tomorrow. In the same way, disbelieving the truth of Scripture does not negate the truth of Scripture. God's word is true. Lost people are sleepers living in spiritual apathy with no sense of guilt, having no conflict with sin. Lost people want their spiritual bed soft and warm, and Satan obliges them. In fact, he is the one who rocks their cradle. Satan is very effective. His sleeping pills produce a very deep sleep. Those without Christ typically do not want their sleep to be disturbed. But who would not awaken someone if their house was on fire? Beloved, we need to sound the alarm. People's spiritual houses are on fire. People's houses are on fire. Therefore, we need to be less concerned about offending someone and more concerned about saving them from the fire. Am I telling you go out and be obnoxious? No. I'm telling you, pray like their lives and souls depend on it. Love them with your whole heart. And in that context, hold their hand and tell them the truth. The next metaphor that Paul uses for those who have no relationship with Christ is death. It says, arise from the dead. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, we read, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. All right, back to the first verse I just read. And you were what? You were dead. If spiritual death in this life is not broken, those who die without Christ will experience the second death, which is the death that never, ever dies. Everlasting death is a thought almost too dreadful to contemplate. And yet, that is the fate of those who die without Christ. So, do you understand why we need to expose the darkness? Do you understand why we need to not slap people around, but rather why we need to love them and seek to lead them to faith and obedience in Christ. What will it take for us on a personal level to expose the darkness and share the gospel of Christ? Here is what it took for me. I've shared my journey before. I hate sharing this, but I like sharing this because it's the truth. I want to share it again. Some years ago, I grappled with why our church was not doing a better job of sharing Jesus on a personal level. We'd tried this, didn't seem to work. We'd tried that, didn't seem to work. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of engagement in actually sharing the gospel with others. So one day in prayer, I said, God, what is the problem? And you know what I feel like I heard in my heart? You are, Lindy. I began to tear up. And you know what I believe I heard next? Lindy, you don't love lost people like I love lost people. And now I'm crying because I knew what I sensed from the Lord in my heart was absolutely true. So, that began a process in my life. Part of that process, from that day forward, this was about 5 years ago, every quiet time, I now pray from my heart, Lord, please help me love lost people like you love lost people. God has been changing my heart. Now, there's only one requirement for me to share the gospel with someone. Just one requirement. They need to be breathing. If they're breathing, I want to tell them about Jesus. You know why? Because I love them. Because I really don't want them to experience eternal death in hell. I think we've also improved as a church in recent years. Both for me on a personal level and for us on a church level, I cannot say we've arrived. That would be overstated. But we have improved in sharing the gospel, which makes me very happy. So think with me. Every day that your lost family members and friends live, they are one day closer to eternity. Think of it. Eternity. Lost people lost forever. That's very serious. All sleepers will eventually awake to the truth of God's word, either by conviction or by condemnation. Let's do our part to do our best to help it be the former, not the latter. Pastor W.A. Criswell tells the true story of a freight train which one morning at 6 o'clock a.m. pulled into the town of Gans, Oklahoma. The engineer blew the train whistle over and over and over and over again. The townspeople wondered why at 6 o'clock a.m. this guy was making so much noise. At 6:04 a.m., a terrible tornado swept through this tiny town and destroyed it, leveled it to the ground. Look, those who are spiritually lost usually want to stay asleep, but we must love them enough to wake them up. We must blow the whistle. I would assume that every time we're together, that there are some in our midst who do not yet have a personal relationship with Jesus. I would assume that this is true of some who are here today, maybe you. You've been to church, you see yourself as a pretty much nice person, but you do not have a real and personal relationship with Christ, I need to tell you something. Nice never got anyone to heaven. For some of you, Christ has been knocking at the door of your heart for so long that the hinges have become rusty. Now is the time to open your heart to Him. Whatever surrendering your life to Christ costs you, it will be worth it. For those who are considering surrendering your life to Christ, let me help you understand how you can respond to Christ for salvation. A, admit that you're a sinner who needs a Savior. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why being nice doesn't make any difference, because you've got to deal with the sin in your life. B, believe in Christ alone for your salvation. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You say, well, I've always believed that. Yeah, there's different kinds of belief. Some are saving belief, some are not. C clarifies the type of belief. C, commit your life to following Jesus. Then Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Notice it doesn't say, pray a magic prayer. Notice it doesn't say, get baptized. Those are good things, but that's not what the call of Jesus says. Jesus only gave one invitation in Scripture. Come, follow me. If you are not visibly following Jesus, the other stuff really doesn't matter. I want to pray for you. Then I'm going to invite you to come to Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer.